Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
If you are a little person, to go with Miss Allie and Miss Brittany. And now is your opportunity, if you're a staff member, to go and find my sermon notes so that I know what I'm talking about. This is when I look down and realize my jeans aren't on. anyone else ever had this nightmare? Okay, cool. So, you guys local? Just kidding. So, there are plenty of churches that exist for themselves. There are churches that make it clear that they are here for their members and their pastors. And, hey, Jen, can I have my sermon notes, please? Okay. I don't know if you guys are as chronically online as I sometimes find myself to be, but the internet is ablaze with a video that has recently gone out from a comedian called Drewski. He's a comedian that, I'm sure a lot of you good Christians have never heard of him before. They're clapping for a different reason. But he recently did a megachurch video. And in the megachurch video, he's talking about, he's pretending to be a megachurch pastor. And he comes out and he's wearing a blazer that it's a Christian Dior blazer. So it's very expensive. He comes out also being suspended from wires from the ceiling, like he's floating in. Yeah, which through your tithes and offerings, we'll do here. No. I'd have a panic attack for so many reasons. He comes in and then he says, you know, we're calling for an offering of $2 million and we're going to close the doors until we hit that number. Ushers lock the door is what he says. And what's crazy, the craziest thing about this video is that every single thing that happened in the video happened at an actual church. There's a church in Texas. Thank you, Jen. There's a church in Texas. Yeah, give it up for Jen. Yeah. There's a church in Texas that for Christmas, they got a scaffolding system in and flew in seven guys playing drums for the drummer boy, which for those of you keeping score at home, not a hymn, not even a religious song. It's an apocryphal tale of a drummer doing a drum solo for a woman immediately postpartum. And we know that that didn't happen because Mary never got charged with murder, right? There's the video, he's wearing this kind of gaudy Christian Dior suit, and you can find it online. There's a pastor who wore that exact same suit jacket that cost $1,400, $14,000, I don't know, a lot, more than this Amazon flannel that I'm wearing. Yeah, exactly, thank you. And so that was real. And then there's a video from a megachurch where the ushers were asked to lock the door until the offering number was hit. Crazy stuff, right, friends? I'm taking notes. You know, this sounds like a pretty good idea. And here's the thing that's important for our time together today. A video had 41 million views. It's a long video. 41 million people saw what the church can be, friends. The story of the church is not being told just yet by churches like ours. The story of the church is being told by comedians and pastors who act like comedians as well. Today, as we wrap up our series on our mission statement, I want us to remember why we are here. We don't exist for ourselves, our members, or your pastor. We exist so that the hope of Jesus Christ can be shared in our neighborhood. Our mission statement is simple. It's this: with God's help, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. With God's help, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Today, the thing I'm going to say a lot, if you want to take notes, you can use our church app and take notes there. You can take paper notes or text it on your phone. I don't care. I used to be a youth pastor. I'm used to people texting while I talk to them. Is this: may we have a hope with work clothes. May we have a hope wearing work clothes. Hope is oftentimes this thing that is seems so delicate, that seems so ethereal, that if you look at it too quickly, it'll fly away. Hope feels like something we have to hold gingerly, but friends, the hope that we carry as a church should be wearing work clothes. The church is not called to exist. The church, this church, does not exist simply to be here. There are plenty of churches that exist so that the great laser light show can happen, or beautiful music, or you can buy the pastor's newest book. That's why some churches exist. Our church was not called into existence for that. The church is called to change things. The church must be driven, must be pushed, motivated by this one question. If we closed our doors tomorrow, who outside this room would notice? How would people be hungry or be in need because the doors of this church closed? A church with hope is a church with workers' hands. My dad worked very hard for a living, and he had hands that were very hard. I distinctly remember holding his hand as a kid and as an adult and feeling the calluses that had formed on his hands. And I have gentle little office worker hands. You know, if I rub my hand over wood that hasn't been sanded, I get a little splinter and it hurts, right? I've got delicate little hands. And friends, I think the world is full of churches with delicate artist's hands. And the world is in desperate need of churches with some calluses, willing to work. Now, moisturization regimen is very important. You know, retinol at night, sunblock in the morning. And yet, I think the church could do for a bit of work. May we have a hope wearing work clothes. Our passage today is from Romans chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. You can go in your paper Bibles now, or if you've got a digital Bible, you can look it up, or you can see it on the screen. We have a tradition here at Shepherd's where the reader will say, "This is the word of God for us, the people of God." Then all of you will say, "Thanks be to God." But we like to add a little extra oomph behind it. And so we add the word "woo" at the end. So be ready with your "woo." Hear the word of the Lord. "Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God." Very good. Good woos. I'm very impressed. So in this passage, we see that we have been made righteous. We talked a little bit about this last week when we were talking about the light that we experience in Jesus Christ. We have been made righteous by Jesus. We have not made our own righteousness. We have not chosen our own righteousness, but instead, Christ has made us righteous. If we are going to change the world, we will need to be changed. If we are going to change the world, we will need to be changed ourselves. The change that we experience in the world is predicated on this knowledge, this assumption, this belief that our own lives need to be changed. When we look at the problem of suffering and evil in the world, if we follow the root of it, we see that it's because we have not been transformed as human creation. That all of humanity has a potential way of living that we are not fulfilling just yet. That there are ways that we can be changed. Last week, we talked about light. And this week, we see that light is for the purpose of hope. On Sunday mornings, I get ready in the dark. Please keep your jokes about my appearance to yourself. I know it might be obvious that I get dressed in the dark, right? I get dressed in the dark because my spouse is sleeping, hopefully, as long as I haven't woken them up. I'm very quiet in the morning, and that's the laughter is coming from my wife, because I'm not. I'm as quiet as you think a man this size might be. Anyways, I digress. But because it's in the dark, I do not see the things in my bedroom. And my pinky toes have this incredible power of sourcing, and it's like a sonar, drawing them to bed frames and hampers and hope chests. And I, you know, but here's an important reality. When I go to bed, there aren't elves that come out and rearrange my furniture. They are in the places they were in the evening before, friends. I should know where they are, and yet I keep finding new and heavier pieces of furniture to crush my pinky toes on, and I keep finding new and more exotic words to say in the morning, because there is no light for me to find my path. You know, it's the new year, new me. We're already through most of January. Before we know it, we'll be into the next March before we're prepared. And in this new year, new me sort of season, we can identify the things that we want to change. And friends, if your new year has started anything like mine, I am finding the pinky toe of my heart, finding the same things that are tripping me up. The same sort of failures, the same sort of sins, the same sort of missteps that I make, I'm finding them again and again as if I'm walking around in the dark. But here's the great news. We have a great light that can help us see the missteps and mistakes ahead of us. And that is why we have hope. As we change, as we transform, as we stop stubbing our dadgum toe against the dadgum hope chest that has always been there, we could see that we will change and we will be different. Last week, we talked about light. This week, we see that light is for the purpose of hope. Now, friends, we are not called to holiness and to change just so that we can get a gold star when we get to heaven. We are not here earning merit badges, friends. We are here to inspire hope in our neighborhood. And we inspire hope in our neighborhood by changing our neighborhood. May we have a hope wearing work clothes. So next week, like I said already, we're starting a series called The Walk, and we're going to be looking at how our faith is practiced. Not just a faith that we hold in our head or our heart or privately, but rather so we can practice our faith out in the open, to share it with others so that our neighborhoods can be changed. Born at the center of the Christian story is our need for change. There is a hope that when all of us change, all of this will change also. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, we inherit his sort of teaching. He said that there are two kinds of holiness. Personal holiness, that's when we read scripture, when we pray, when we share our faith with other people, when we give generously. But then the other form of holiness is just as important. That is social holiness. I cannot be holy if my neighbor is hungry. I cannot be like God if there is a kid that is behind the reading standards that are set for his age. I cannot be holy if a kid doesn't have a safe bed, a warm bed to sleep in. I cannot be holy if the things I see on the news lead me to despair instead of action. At the core of the Christian faith is the belief that as all of us change, all of this will change as well. May we have a hope that wears work clothes. So in the passage it says, we boast in the hope of God's glory. You know, sometimes people will tell me indirectly or directly, because I'm a United Methodist pastor, and because of the way that we view our call to be have both social holiness and personal holiness, that we're not like a real church. You know, like real churches, they care about just your faith and they don't get involved in that sort of things because that's a little bit too political, right? You know, talk about social justice or social holiness because, well, that's for the government to do or for someone else to do, but it's definitely not us. And the challenge that I see when I hear that from other people, and they often are well-meaning, sometimes they're just meanie pants McGee's, but sometimes they really do mean well, is I think that the United Methodist Church, we suffer sometimes. We don't make it clear that at the center of who we are is the belief that nothing we do matters if Christ is not being glorified. At the center of who we are is the belief that nothing we do matters if Christ is not being glorified. We partner with, amen, yeah. At the center of who we are. You know, at Riley's Rangers, we gave away a bunch of Christmas presents, partnered with another organization that also helped us get a bunch of Christmas presents. We gave those away. If we just did that to make ourselves feel better, and we didn't point heavenward, if we didn't point inward to the Holy Spirit that made it possible, if our faith wasn't inspired from that, then why are we here? We buy all the turkeys for the turkey trot, and we don't stick a New Testament inside the turkey as we hand it to the kid. That was a big swing. I'm sorry. I'll rein it back. All right. Come on, preacher. But what we do is we infuse that act with the gospel as we share it with others. We don't do this because we're nice people. We do this because Christ has changed us, friends. If we are not doing this for the glory of God, then why are we here? That is the first, that is the second, that is the most reason why we do anything as a church. So if anyone ever tells you don't go to a real church because you go to a United Methodist church, tell them to come and find me any Sunday at 9 or 10:30. May we have a hope that wears work clothes. So not yesterday, but last Saturday, I got together with all the leaders of our church, and they're people from both campuses, people that are invested, people that were voted on at our charge conference to be leaders within the church, trustees, SBR, all other finance, all other sorts of folks. And we all got together and we talked about the things that were going really well. We talked about hopes for the future, and we came up with 5 SMART goals. Now, corporate jargon never makes anybody happy, all right? So suffer along with me for just a moment, all right? But a SMART goal, it's an acronym, and it stands for this: a sustainable, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely goal. Churches, I think, very often say, well, we just want things to be better. The thing about better is you never find it, right, friends? You're chasing a dragon that isn't there. We want to be stronger. How strong? Like, think of Ronnie Coleman, but more. You know, you got to have concrete goals, something to go after, and that's what a SMART goal is. And so we wrote out 5 SMART goals, things that are sustainable, things that are measurable, attainable, relevant. I always tell people that I think they added the R just so the acronym works. Of course it's going to be relevant. What are you talking about? And then timely. We have a deadline. You won't hear a lot of churches that do that, right, friends? Most churches, they're not going to be doing this work. Number one, because again, corporate jargon makes nobody happy. And number two, because churches, I think, sometimes are afraid to fail. It's tough to fail as a pastor. I've done it many times. And it's hard to do because, you know, ultimately, you try to do things as a church and as a pastor, as a leader in the church, and you end up feeling when there's a failure, well, it couldn't have been God's fault, so must have been mine. And as a church, we have set SMART goals every year for the last 5 years, and by God's grace, we've hit a lot of them. I wanted to share our 5 SMART goals with you today, not just so that you can know what your leadership has decided and how the whole work of the church is going to be pushed, but also so that, well, I'll tell you in just a little while, your action steps are going to come from these SMART goals. So the first one is this. By January 10th, 2027, our average weekly giving will be $7,000. Now, I am aware that we've talked about money quite a bit. We had our stewardship campaign, and then we talked about our generosity during the Christmas season. I get it. I hear you. In the walk, there's a whole chapter on giving, and I'm just going to trust in God's grace that you know a lot about being generous already, okay, friends? I'm not going to be preaching on that. But the reason why we talk about money as a church, number one, is I'd never want the finances of your generosity to be something you are not aware of. It is very important to me that you know where your generosity goes. And number two, in order to follow Jesus, Christ changes every aspect of us, including our generosity. So we as a church, we believe our goal for January 10th, 2027 is for our average weekly giving to be $7,000. That's our first SMART goal. Our second SMART goal is this: that our average weekly attendance will increase by 42 people across Chapel, Oaks, and our podcast. We have a podcast right now that has around 50 downloads every week, which means there's 50 people that are downloading the podcast, and we hope a good chunk of them are also listening to it and participating in the life of this church through our sermons. 42 people will come and be a part of the work that God is doing here. That is the goal. Now, the goal and the hope is that 42 people come and join. And if it goes beyond that, it's wonderful. And if it goes below that, we're going to figure out what we did wrong and get to that number, because that's what God has called us to. A lot of people in churches like us, more, you know, mainline churches, get a little uncomfortable when you talk about attendance, because that is what, you know, the Baptists do. And we get a little worried about that. I have been so encouraged by the growth that we have seen at both of our campuses. Friends, we had a smaller attendance at Chapel Campus today. It's holiday weekend, blah, blah, blah. And I did the math. Half of the people there were younger than me. And I'm like, it's a nice metric because I keep getting older, and it gets harder to be older than me, just kind of, you know, logistically speaking. But there's a lot of churches that don't have that problem, and I'm very grateful for that. The reason why I am so comfortable talking about growth and attendance and people coming is because, first of all, I think that Shepherd's is offering something that isn't plentiful in the city of Lakeland. I think there are some churches that have a wide open welcome and a lot of churches that don't. And so we get to offer grace and welcome like other churches can't. And that's important to me. And then the corny way that I put it is every keister in a seat is another pair of feet out in the world bringing about the gospel. Right? So yeah, put that on a bumper sticker, right? Because every, you know, people don't like talking about butts and seats. I do, because that means another pair of feet out in the world that are going to be kind, generous, and help change our neighborhood. The way things are not the way they must be. And so as we grow, we will see change as well. Our third SMART goal is this. We're going to increase our average participation by 30% on Wednesday nights. We think that our Wednesday night programming is stellar. And as we grow, things like reliability and participation, we are going to see more people come. Because we know that we can establish our faith in rows in worship, and we're going to grow as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, in circles, in small group. As we get together in circles, we're going to be able to grow our faith together for the transformation of our hearts and our world. Our next SMART goal is this: we will establish or partner with three initiatives that will impact 2,200 total people. Can I show you a little peek behind the curtain, a little inside baseball? Initially, that number was, what was it? 1,700 or something. And then they were like, we should just round up to 2,000. I was like, I agree. And then I wrote 2,200 because, I don't know, me and God talk all the time, and that's what God told me to do. Because we partner with Riley's Reindeers, we saw 1,000 people get a Christmas present, and we know that God is calling us to do more because we see that our world is not how it should be. We're going to partner with or establish, which means that we're either going to find people that are already doing something in the neighborhood and help them, or we're going to find a problem that doesn't have a solution just yet. And like St. Vanilla Ice said, if there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it. And we're going to solve it together through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number five. I thought that would get a bigger laugh, but okay. In 60 days, a team will be empowered to launch a capital improvement campaign that will launch August 1st, 2026. So friends, if you've been here for long enough, you might know that our air conditioner was installed 25 years ago, and has a 20-year lifespan. Y'all do that quick mental math. Yeah. So we're on borrow time, friends. And right now it's perfect. I love when it's cool outside because it gives me one less reason to stay up late at night. But when July comes, my friends, I don't even believe in holy water, but you better believe I'm sprinkling a little bit on those units out there. And sometimes they just don't move at all. And I'm like, but please. And sometimes our trustee comes for a Christmas Eve service and gets to wear their Christmas Eve best and suck out the drain pan in our air conditioner in the attic because that is what is required. Our capital improvement plan is going to give us the chance to install new air conditioners here at our building so that our property becomes something that we can use and not something that gets in the way. I love this building. There are people here in this space that ran the electrical. There are people here in this space that were here when the ground was broken. This is a sacred space for us. And if we're going to love the things that God has given to us, we have to take care of them. So we're all going to have a chance to participate in the generosity that's going to make it possible for us to have a capital improvement campaign that will be launching on August 1st. These are the five goals that we have as a church. This is what is going to color and fill in the lines and motivate us over the course of 2026. And in the in-between and all that blue space, that pink space you see between those lines, incredible things are going to happen as well. We're going to see lives transform, new people come, people experiencing a welcome that they never thought that they would ever get at a church, all because of all of you being powered by the Holy Spirit. May we have a hope wearing work clothes. I think a lot of times churches don't do goals like this because they forget something so important. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, friends, it is unreal the things that God has been able to do here at this church, here in this community, and over in Highland City. It simply could not be done because of the pastors and the leaders that came before me, and certainly not the pastor you have now and the leaders that we have now. It has to be the Holy Spirit. We have seen things that were not possible and are only possible because of God incarnate in all of us bringing about change. Regardless of how hopeless the world may feel, the Holy Spirit will prevail. Every time we celebrate communion, we declare the great mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Friends, here's the thing you need to know. The church will be triumphant. All will be made well. The church will be triumphant. All will be made well. And friends, it is easy to look at the news and despair, to succumb to the sin of despair, to look at the world and think, well, that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's always going to be. May we never give in to that temptation. May we know, may we believe that the church will be triumphant. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, all will be made well. May we have a hope that wears work clothes. So I have some action points for you today. Some ways you can put the sermon into action, not just hear it, but also do it so the world can be changed and transformed. The first one is this, is I want you to pick a SMART goal and I want you to pray that SMART goal every single day. So you're going to see the SMART goals again. I want you to pick one of those. If you haven't taken a picture of it yet, you might want to do that. Or if you've got one that just spoke to you, you've already written it on your mind. Every day when you wake up and you pray, I want you to pray one of these SMART goals. I don't know which one I'm going to pick. I'm still deciphering which one I'm being called to pick. But I want you to pray one of those SMART goals. So that, not just so that it could be on your mind and in your heart, but also so that you can begin to dream of the way that God will work within all of us to make those goals happen. And the second one is this. I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit gives you hope. I've seen the news. We're in a time where we're not loving each other very well. Something that's really been speaking out to me is that I feel like our culture has lost all sense of mercy. Mercy is a word that the Holy Spirit keeps giving to me over and over again, that we're losing our touch with mercy, that as soon as someone fails, that's who they are forever. Or as soon as someone wrongs us, they're out of our lives forever. This mercy keeps coming back. And I can despair when I think that mercy doesn't feel as good as being self-righteous. Mercy doesn't feel as good as being angry. Mercy doesn't feel as good as being right. And I worry about that. And friends, I'll confess, I sometimes succumb to the sin of despair. And I think this is just the way that it is. But this week, your pastor, and I hope all of you will also pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the gift of hope. And may we all have hope that wears work clothes. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.